can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
What do you say we do a podcast there, Albert? What's going on?
I'll do one of those, Jerry. Yeah. Yesterday, Jerry, when I went out to my car parked here in the beautiful city of New York, I didn't park on the street as you do, as Eddie does.
Well, can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
When did the meter go up to $13.50 now for 2 hours?
Oh, I didn't even realize.
Yeah. A nice little $2 increase.
They just jacked up the price.
I haven't paid in months. So I paid today. I'm like, what? $13.50? When'd that happen?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. That's
it was $3 an hour?
It was, yeah, at one point.
Not anymore.
Yeah, it's up. But anyway, I paid one of those parking meters, Jerry. But when I went out to my car yesterday to leave, someone had crashed into my driver's door.
It's unbelievable.
At some point. I'd love to know when it happened.
Do you think it was a car? Or do you think it was like a bike?
I actually think it was based on that it smashed in on the lower part of my door, but not in the upper part of my door and not my side view mirror.
Oh,
so I actually think it was a mail truck.
I know.
Because they have those really weird bumpers.
Yep.
And it's got the white.
It scraped the side of your car.
It's scraped and it's all the paint is like a dust, a chalk. And I parked right in front of a one of those jackasses. Yeah. Can I sue the government, Jerry?
Go for it. Why not? Maybe they'll pay just to go away.
Oh, this was hilarious. I told Gina about it. She goes, are you going to file a report? I laughed. I go, file a report? If you got mugged in New York, you don't even file a report.
I got hit by a street sweeper, went down with a cop, and still didn't file a report.
Yeah, file a report.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, not
in
New York
City.
What
a pain in the ass that would be?
Yeah.
You'd have to go to the precinct, which there's no parking, which is why I didn't do it.
Yeah.
You would have to have either taken a cab or walked like a mile to the precinct, figured out what to do when you're in there, get the paper, and then find your way back to take all day.
Yeah, but for what reason?
Right,
file
exactly.
A report for what?
Exactly.
So I could go through my own insurance that I pay. So now I'm going to have a car that's got a smashed door.
Or you just do what I do. Nothing.
That's what I mean. I'm
going to
be
it.
Doing nothing about it.
This is the remnants of parking in Manhattan every day.
It was so funny. You and I were just talking about cars, I think, off the air the other day. And I was like, maybe I'll get a different car.
And you said no because of parking in New York. So what else did we talk about yesterday that I knocked on wood for?
I don't remember.
We were talking about DirecTV Stream.
Oh, yeah.
I said I've had it for a year and a half. I've never had one issue with it.
No issues.
Great product. So I go home yesterday. My mother-in-law's over. So I get home. She's in the one room. She's watching her TV shows. I go do a few things. I settle in front of the TV at 1:10. Matthew's upstairs. He said he's coming down in 20 minutes. He's got the game on while he's doing a paper for school. Be down about 1:30, 1:40. No problem. So I go downstairs, the TV we always watch, and I put on the TV. I click my DirecTV Stream. It says, hi, Jerry. And then the guide comes up. And then a message that comes up. Too many streams at one time. Please refresh. Like, too many streams? I'm supposed to get 8 streams at once. 1, 2, 3. Never seen this before. Refresh, nothing. Refresh, nothing. Refresh, nothing. I had to, after throwing the remote control out the window, I had to download the SNY app and watch it there.
You
looked
signed
it up.
In with your DirecTV?
What's that?
You sign in with your DirecTV login?
Yeah, and it was
login?
No problem, and then everything was fine, but I was watching on the SNY app as opposed to the DirecTV Stream. So then I Google it, and apparently this does. I haven't dealt with this in a year since I've had it for a year and a half.
Yeah.
This happens from time to time, where the stream apparently gets confused by one of the signals and thinks you're outside the home. And if you're streaming from outside the home, you only get 2 streams at once.
Oh, I see.
But I'm in my home.
You were in your house.
I wanted to call you and be like, we jinxed it. And you jinxed your car.
I jinxed my car.
The stream.
Yep.
You can't make it up.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Smashed car and no Mets stream for
God
you.
Almighty.
Mm.
It's terrible.
I started watching that documentary about the people with chimps.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Chimp crazy.
Yeah.
I was very thrown off by,
whole thing?
Yeah, but the first episode is a woman working at a place that has chimps.
Okay.
Or it's a volunteer place, but it's just these chimps.
Right.
But I was so thrown off by what she was feeding these chimps. So these are chimps in captivity.
Okay.
So they're in the cages, which is not good.
Right.
She was feeding them Powerade sports drink, which is all sugar, chicken nuggets with sauce, all sorts of candies and cakes.
Really?
Yeah. And they're wondering why the chimps are bouncing off the walls.
They're on sugar highs.
They're on sugar highs and fast food. And it was crazy.
Giving the chimps the good old American diet.
Yes. We have fat chimps.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. So I'm only one episode in.
Okay.
But it's interesting. You don't realize how strong these chimps are, Jerry.
No, I think I would, knowing that they ripped a woman's face off in Connecticut.
So one of the guys that's in this thing, he's talking. He's having a conversation. I'm staring at his face, and all around his nose, I was like, what happened to this guy's face? Because it looks like somebody sewed a face on.
Oh, God.
Because he was attacked by one of his chimps.
Really?
Yeah. It chewed his nose off. The woman said his wife had to go in the cage and get the nose back.
Oh, my God.
So that they could sew it back on.
God,
so
that is awful.
You'll be very careful.
Ugh.
One of the women was running, her business was chimp parties. She'll bring a chimp to your birthday party.
Wow.
But I guess they know at a certain age, I think it's 3 years old.
That's what you said yesterday.
Yeah, I think at 3 years old, the chimps can no longer go to birthday parties because they will want to eat one of the kids.
Oh, my God.
So you gotta be very careful.
We've really lost our mind as a society.
Yeah.
God, you know, I was watching on YouTube yesterday. The guy you used to like, I don't know if you do anymore, the Bobby, whatever the hell his name is.
Bobby Parrish, Flav City. Bobby approved.
So I don't follow him, but I follow this Dr. Berg.
Yes.
So they met up in Costco together. And I was watching it, and then my wife walked in, and they were explaining why vegetable oil is crap.
Yeah.
And what olive oils to buy. I will tell you, my wife was very engaged in what she was watching. To where she's like, I think I got to go throw that stuff out. I'm like, all right. Now, if I would have told her that, she would not have, because what do I know? But when she saw this and they were, really breaking it down and explaining it, she looked mortified.
Yeah.
She's like, why are we eating that? I'm like, I've been telling you that for a year. I don't know. What can I tell you? And now she knows what to look for in the olive oil. That even blew her away. So it was very interesting.
Wow, that's interesting. That's just one little piece of the puzzle, but it is a piece.
Yeah, but you know what? Again, you start small, and then, you add on. One to 1 + 1 = 2, + 2 = 4. Next thing you know, and you've made a lot of different changes.
That's correct.
So that was pretty cool, actually.
That is good.
So you're watching, people have their noses ripped off by chimps, and we're watching why olive oil and vegetable oils aren't good.
Which is, I'm all for watching that as well, Jerry.
All for both.
Look, a week or so ago, I told you that there was a threatened strike for the dock workers.
It started sooner than I thought. I thought we had another week.
Yeah, I thought it was 2 weeks. But I guess it started today. Dock workers in Newark, and I guess in other docks around the country,
it goes to Texas.
Really?
The article I was reading.
Oh wow!
Like basically any port, if you're part of that union, I guess. And again, we're speaking out of turn because we're not exactly sure. But from what I read this morning, it said from Maine to Texas.
So anybody who works in those ports, and they get the shipments from like China and all the
from anywhere,
any foreign country.
Yeah,
and I guess it also affects if we send products to foreign countries.
Yeah. If the docks and the ports are shut.
Yeah,
nothing in, nothing out.
I did see on the TVs while the Boomer and Geo show was going on. The TVs in the other room, the local news, they had people at the port like reporting on.
Yeah, sure.
So, I don't know how that's going to, or when we'll notice the effects of that.
I have a serious question.
Yeah.
If the effects of this potentially are so severe that we could have pandemic-like interruptions and, supply issues, if you're the port guy, who is, the rep, we want $1 million for everybody. If not, good luck with your imports and your exports. Like, what stops them from asking for such ridiculous amounts of money?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know there's got to be some give and take. I understand that. But, like, I don't know. Like, why not ask for the moon, the stars, and the sun? You apparently have the power to do it, unless you're going to hire people that are going to cross those picket lines that I would not go near. I think that would be a dangerous situation.
Like strong dudes.
That seems like danger.
Yeah. Dudes who work in shipyards, the docks, They seem like guys that are serious about their union, Jerry.
And those guys are working their asses off.
Yeah, I would not
think.
Cross that either.
I would think.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. In any of these situations, like even, like I remember in the, I think it was like in the late, mid to late 80s,
mm-hmm.
the air traffic controllers went on strike.
Right. Why not ask for everything?
And Ronald Reagan fired them all.
Did he really?
Yeah.
And they just hired new ones?
Yeah. And I remember my family, we were on vacation.
Oh, God.
When they
rent the car and drive home.
When they hired new people.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know
how that ended, if they eventually came back.
It's interesting.
Yeah. But I also saw a thing, and I don't know where this is, but I saw it on some sort of news, that somewhere, the nurses somewhere want to go on strike.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird one to me, because part of being a nurse or a doctor is taking this oath to help people.
It's about money. Everything is about money.
And so you're really not going to go to work and help very ill
people?
They
want to be paid.
Because the contract's not worked out? That seems weird.
They want to be paid.
Yeah.
Everything in life is about money.
Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, the church is about money. Nurses and doctors are about money. I'm not saying that they don't get into it for the right reason.
Right.
I'm sure they do. I mean, when you choose that field of work, I would think that's a big part of it. But it's also getting paid.
Right.
And if you feel like you're not getting paid enough, we want ours. You know, it's no different anywhere else.
Yeah. It seems like certain jobs shouldn't be allowed to go on strike. Because, you know,
the government shuts down, for Christ's sake.
The government does shut down.
When they can't figure out a budget and they can't get together. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You're in a union. Why don't you guys go on strike?
I don't think we ever have.
Yeah.
I don't even think we've ever been close to going on strike. To be quite honest with you, I don't know why we haven't. Because I know there have been some grievances that have been worked out behind closed doors. But
yeah.
I also think there's a part of it of, if you're going to go on strike, you also better be prepared that your job's going to be gone.
Right.
And that's not, I don't think that would be a threat for management as much as it would be the reality of the situation. You want to go on strike? Okay, see you. I got 900 other people that want your job. So I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Yeah.
I do know, and maybe Eddie could talk more about this at some point when he fills in for one of us, or maybe we have him in one day.
Oh, a special guest, Eddie Scazzeri.
Going back, I would say around the year 1999, 2000, right around there. I'm not going to mention names, but there were a couple of behind-the-scenes people that met with union reps to try and get all the off-air people a better deal, because we weren't paid well. I mean, we've joked about it, but we were not paid well. And at that time, I was a part-time anchor, but a board op still, full-time. And I remember there was a lot of trepidation from people that, like myself, like, they're giving me an opportunity to be on the air. Am I really going to join this union fight or join a union for a job I don't really want in 6 months or a year or 2 years? And there, I remember we never formed, but it was close. It was very close. But a big part of that was a lot of us had other ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't about being a board op for 30 years and hoping to have, you know, better wages. I wanted to do what I'm doing. Do you want to upset the apple cart? And we never got it off the ground.
Yeah.
But Eddie should remember that. Because I don't know that he was into it or not. I actually think he was. I think he was against it. But I don't remember.
So this was to form a new union?
It was to form a union, a producer, board op, tape op union, whatever. Yeah, we would have joined a union that was in place already, but for the people that were behind the scenes. Yeah.
I know they even have unions like for news writers.
Yeah.
Like, that's a union.
Well, especially now, and that's more important than ever because of AI.
Yes.
AI can now write stuff. AI can now take your voice and put stuff out that mimics you. So there are a lot of things that they're trying to guard against right now so they don't lose jobs in mass amounts.
I'm thinking I have to be careful with the podcasts that I listen to these days, because anytime, like I listen to a lot of Joe Rogan podcasts, but anytime he has anyone on that was in the military or some sort of upper level CIA, mm-hmm. Navy SEAL, I get scared.
Basically telling you the world is about to end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And I don't want to hear it anymore.
I know.
Because what am I going to do about it?
Nothing.
But it's just like, Russia's this, and Russia's going to fire missiles at us, and China. I don't know how we're still standing right now with all these things.
I forget. I don't know if it's MSN. I forget the homepage on my home laptop.
Yeah.
But it's got all these, clearly, a lot of the stories on the front page are things that I have looked at and read. And so I get a lot of nutrition things, and I get a lot of health and fitness things. I get golf stories. I get world stories.
So it knows what you like.
It does know what I like. And the one thing that I saw the other day was top 10 cities you don't want to be in case of a nuclear attack. New York City is the top one.
This is what I mean. I don't want to hear this.
We'll basically be disintegrated. We won't even know it. But, like, wow. That's where we're at right now. I don't think we've had the level of concern probably since the Cold War, I don't think.
And yet, I feel like if you went around and asked people, they wouldn't even know.
I don't think a lot of people have any idea what's going on. I really don't. I think everybody's concerned. I mean, we sit here and we're watching, invest this, and in 5 years, come back. 5 years, I don't know if we'll be here in 5 weeks. You know, we talk about, like, everything's great. Everything's not great. Everything's pretty crappy.
You know, I'm trying to think, like, has it always been like this, and I'm just now listening to and reading things about
it? No, this has escalated severely between Hamas, Israel, Russia, Ukraine, Iran, China. There is so much going on overseas right now, and we're just in our little bubble over here.
Yeah.
Worried about who's going to. And I do think who's president makes a difference. I do. But it's like, if there's an attack, I don't know. I am on a daily basis, it does go through my mind, when is the next attack coming on this country? And I don't know how it would be, where it would be, but I feel like something could happen at any moment.
Yeah, I didn't used to think that way, but
I do.
All these military guests on all these podcasts and guys who worked in the CIA, Navy SEALs.
I remember my dad always used to tell me, what you don't know is best, because then you don't think about it nonstop, because there's a lot of stuff that's out there that would concern you.
Yeah, I would think about that, like even something like my dad worked out at Delta for 35, 40 years. He probably saw some things.
I'm sure.
That if people saw it, they wouldn't get on an airplane.
I don't think there's any question about that. I would agree with that, yeah.
But we just don't even think about it, because that's not our job. We don't see it, and the world keeps going, and the planes stay in the sky.
We talk about it all the time. Look at what happened in North Carolina and Virginia and Georgia. And, like, here we are. We're getting fired up over a Mets win. Meantime, headlined the lead story in the New York Post this morning, one of the lead stories, was these two grandparents and their grandson in North Carolina on a roof where the waters were up to the roof, and I guess they slipped off and got swept away. And they have photos, and it's so just dreary and sad. The photo is on the one side, you see they're taking a picture of all the water, and then the other one says their final photo. Like, oh, my God. And here we are. Like, we really give a crap if the Mets would have lost both games yesterday?
Yes.
Like, those poor people's family are now have to deal with a funeral and trying to find the remains of their—that's— Man, it sucks.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like, and I try to think, like, you do want to be informed. You do want to know what's going on in the world. But it also affects your day.
It can.
As to how you feel.
Yep.
And how much can we do about it? Like, how much should you know? Because you can't do—
There's nothing
like, we
you can do.
Can't do anything about what's going on in Russia.
No.
If you think the president matters, then you can vote in November,
but
right?
But
that's about it. We don't know what's going on in all these crazy things.
No, we don't. We have no idea.
So should I know? Should I keep listening to this stuff or not?
Maybe you take a break for a couple weeks and clear your mind.
I want to listen. And I will listen about UFOs when the UFOs are landing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on, Jerry. I got chimps drinking Powerade.
And you're doing nothing but drinking water and—
For what? I'm going to be nuked.
Eating raw almonds.
Right.
That have no taste.
And I'm just going to be, just for what? So I get nuked too?
Exactly. I don't know, man. It's a serious topic, and it's very distressing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Let me close out then on a better topic.
Please.
Jerry. So I saw Kris Kristofferson passed away. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah.
He was like an actor and I guess a country singer as well. Anyway, it really sparked a childhood memory. My friend Rob lived next door to me.
Okay.
And his dad had an office in the house that just was filled with paperwork. I mean, I never saw so much paperwork piled. So one day after we were done playing wiffle ball, Rob and I were in his dad's office for whatever reason, and we found a 1976 Playboy magazine. It was not 1976. This had to be probably 79, 80, 81, somewhere in there. But it was a 1970, and I actually still have it? No, I never had it.
Oh, okay.
It was in his office, but I remember the year, and I confirmed this morning, I Googled it because I knew I wanted to bring this up to you. But in this Playboy magazine, there was a spread with Kris Kristofferson, the man, and this nude woman. And they were in a bed. I don't believe he was nude, if I'm recalling, but she was definitely nude. And that stuck every time since then.
You've heard that name? You've thought of it?
Anytime I hear Kris Kristofferson, I think, that dude was in a Playboy spread with a nude woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought me right back to Rob's father's office.
48 years ago.
Stacked with paperwork.
Yeah.
But in his filing cabinet, there was a Playboy magazine. We checked it out, and there was old Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah.
Being nude.
Being nude.
So I did Google it. I Googled Kris Kristofferson Playboy, and some publication wrote an article after his death, so within the past week,
right,
about his appearance in Playboy magazine in July of 1976.
How about that?
I remembered the year.
That's wild.
How about that?
How about, 200 years after our independence.
Yes. So instead of worrying about nuclear war, Jerry, and the strike with the dock workers, and when the aliens are going to invade us all.
Right. That's a great example right there, what you just said.
Yeah.
Like, the dock workers are on strike. Meantime, there could be a nuclear attack at any moment.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, wow.
And what if we're supposed to be importing Russian stuff, and they're like, oh, you're not going to take our stuff anymore? How about a nuclear bomb right in your faces?
Not funny. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible.
I'm going to choose to focus on Kris Kristofferson and a nude woman, Jerry.
Did you ever check out who the nude woman was?
No, but the article that I Googled did have her name.
Okay.
I guess she was an actress, and I think this was somehow they took these pictures on the set of this movie.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, she was nude. They were in some sort of, like, if I can recall, like, some sort of, like, log cabin type setting where they were out in the woods, Jerry, just being nude. We were in the home.
Yeah.
But she was nude. He was not nude.
Living off the land.
Living off the land.
All natural.
Yeah, 1976.
Some scene.
Probably a lot of bush.
I would.
You know what I'm saying?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think in 1976.
We were better with the hygiene in 76. We were getting there.
Right. We washed the bush.
Yep.
It was just very bushy. Definitely.
Trim the bush?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think in the 1980s, similar thing. I don't think that really happened till like the 90s.
When, you might be right. I don't know.
The trimming of the bush was a big thing.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
Great finish.
Nukes
to bush.
Yep. I might just title it.
Yeah.
Alan Jerry, From Nukes to Bush.
Perfect.
So...